Thanks so much, Father Jad. I'm thankful for you too, and thankful for you all at Emmaus Road Anglican Church. It's such a joy to be back with you again. Marianne and I are so delighted to be here. For me, this is the first time I've been with you in this venue, and it works, hey? Bless you, and for those of you that work so hard in setting up and enabling us to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, we so appreciate your acts of service, and it's such a delight to be with you this morning here, and particularly for this confirmation and reaffirmation service as well. And you may be here, friends, this morning wondering a little bit about what is this thing called confirmation. And so just before we delve into our text for a minute, I wanted to briefly say a little word about the Anglican Church's understanding of confirmation. But before we do that, let's pray together. Lord, we're so thankful to be here. We're so thankful to be part of your family. So thankful to be part of the church. And Lord, we're so thankful for the gift of your holy word. By your Spirit, still our hearts and minds, we pray that together today we might hear your voice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So friends, what's confirmation all about then? What are we about in this Eucharist service today? Well, the Anglican Church, as I'm sure you know, is a piece of God's one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We're going to proclaim that in a few moments in the Creed. And the Anglican Church requires both a public and a private profession of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. And in the Anglican Church, confirmation is that liturgical expression of both a private and public profession of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. Confirmation is clearly grounded in the New Testament. There are various places where we can see the apostles visited people who had already been baptized and laid their hands upon them, and the Holy Spirit empowered them afresh for acts of service in the church and in the world. And this morning, Catherine and Ashley are being confirmed. Jack is reaffirming his baptismal faith, and they will receive the laying on of hands and the fresh empowering of the Holy Spirit. And as I am praying for our candidates this morning and laying hands upon them, friends, I encourage you to be praying for them in your hearts as well, that God will empower them afresh with the gift of his Holy Spirit and pour out the gifts that he has for them for the work of ministry in the church. In our Anglican Catechism, to be a Christian, question number 138 asks, what grace does God give you in confirmation? And the answer is, in confirmation, I am further empowered and gifted by the Holy Spirit for daily growth in wisdom, courage, and humility before God in every aspect of my life and work. So there's three things that are going to be going on today. There's the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Confirmation is also an ordination service, in that it is ordination for the people of God, the lay people of God, into the royal priesthood of Jesus Christ, what the New Testament calls the priesthood of all believers. See, it's great stuff, this, right? The empowering of the Spirit, it's the ordination of the people of God into the royal priesthood of all believers. And then thirdly, our candidates, as an Anglican bishop lays hands upon them, they are formally welcomed into the Anglican Christian family. Isn't that wonderful? And we rejoice with Catherine and Ashley and Jack today, praying for them that by the power of the Spirit they may continue in the Lord's service as a disciple of Jesus all the days of their life. It's a great day. Baptismal faith is being reaffirmed and confirmed. We remember the words of Jesus when he said in the Gospel of Matthew, Everyone who acknowledges me publicly, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. What a wonderful promise. And our gospel reading this morning, friends, very appropriately, is all about calling. So if you have a Bible with you or a Bible app on your phone, you might want to take a look. We're just going to look for a few moments at Luke chapter 5 that Sarah read to us a few moments ago. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. It's the story of Jesus calling his first disciples with a particular emphasis on Simon, who, as we know later on in the Gospels, will be known as Simon Peter. Simon Peter, on whom the Lord will build his church through the likes of you and me, my brothers and sisters. And so in Luke chapter 5, we see that Jesus calls his first disciples. These are seafaring guys. He calls them to leave everything and follow him. After demonstrating his authority and his power through a miraculous catch of fish. Now, it all started out as a neat piece of improvising on Jesus' part. We're told at the beginning of Luke chapter 5, people were crowding around him, and notice Luke's phrase, they were crowding around Jesus to hear the word of God. What they wanted to hear. And then we read in verses 2 and 3, when Jesus saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets, getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. If you've ever been in that region around the Sea of Galilee, close to the village of Capernaum, which is where Simon lived, there's a series of kind of steep inlets all around the shoreline. And these inlets form a kind of amphitheater. And in all honesty, even today, if you went to that area and you got in a boat and pushed out a little into the water, you could talk at a normal volume and people would hear you better than if you were standing with them on the actual shore. Serves as a kind of amphitheater. And so Jesus uses Simon's boat, pushes out a little bit to teach the people so that they can hear him. This, of course, was before the advent of neck mics. Now, when the teaching was over, Luke tells us that Jesus suggests to Simon that they go out on a fishing trip. Well, have you ever been asked to do something that you thought was completely and utterly pointless? Have you ever been asked to do something that you thought was a total waste of time? Jesus' suggestion to Simon to go out on a fishing trip meets some resistance. In verse 5, we read, Simon answered him, Master, we toiled all night, took nothing, but at your word, I'll let down the nets. Every fisherman knew that if you fish with nets, the best time to do it was at night. Here's a carpenter suggesting a daytime fishing trip to an experienced fisherman who's worked through the night with his colleagues and caught absolutely nothing. Have you ever been asked to do something you thought was pointless and a waste of time? Well, maybe there was something in Simon that knew that the Lord's word is not to be ignored on any subject, even fishing. You see, Simon might not agree with it, but he could obey it, even though it made no sense to him whatsoever. And what happened? Well, obedience brings results, right? Obedience brings results. Verses 6 and 7. When they'd done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. And so, friends, we have to acknowledge that this was contrary to all human expectation. And at that moment, Simon knew he was way out of his league. He was out of his depth. The Lord's revelation of power in the field of Simon's own expertise and experience completely undoes him. Like Abraham, like Isaiah, like Job, Simon recognizes the power of God before him and sees his own sinfulness in return. He's completely undone by this experience. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. It's a kind of, if you like, a woe is me moment. He knew that God was in the boat with him. But notice, friends, Jesus' response. He's very gentle and he's very reassuring. The second half of verse 10, Jesus says to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." Do not be afraid. In other words, stop being fearful. Jesus is calming Simon's understandable fear. Stop being fearful. And then notice this phrase, it's a key phrase. Jesus says, "From now on, you will be catching men." From now on, a turning point had been reached. This was a decisive moment in the life of Simon. Jesus says, "From now on, you will be catching men," and a fisherman becomes a follower. Or in other words, don't be afraid, Simon. From now on, you and I are going to be working together. And Simon and the other fishermen that day turned their backs on the largest catch of fish they'd ever seen in their entire career, as they head off in a new direction with little idea of where it's going to take them, as these fishermen become followers. But notice that as they do this, Jesus, in his kindness and in his provision, is providing for their families. This miraculous catch of fish would have served these new disciples' families well. And when we hear the call of Jesus, he seems to expect an immediate response. I remember one time I was in Israel and the tour guide said, the difference between Jesus and other first century rabbis at the time who also called disciples to them, is that it seems to be that Jesus of Nazareth expects an immediate result, an immediate response. And friends, when we hear the call of Jesus, we can trust him to look after our families, to look after our loved ones, and to provide for them as we respond in obedience to his call upon our lives. That's the best thing for our families as well as for us as well. And then as we draw to a close, as we know, we read on in Luke's gospel, we see that Jesus kept his promise to Simon. Despite Simon's initial reluctance here, and despite Simon's subsequent sins and failures, Jesus kept his promise to him. Why? Because he who calls is faithful. And despite the fall, there is always the call. And if you've heard the word and the call of Jesus, and if you have fallen in one way or another, just get up. Just get up and carry on. Because despite the falls, there is always the call. And the one who calls you is faithful. And Catherine and Ashley and Jack, the same is true for you today, as it was for Simon and the fisherman way back when. He who calls you is faithful. And my dear brothers and sisters of Emmaus Road Church, I submit to you what I believe may be a word for you from the Lord at this current juncture of your life and ministry together. The words of Jesus, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Launch out into the deep, beloved, and there cast the net of the gospel. Fish not merely in safe, shallow waters. It's okay to not be able to touch the bottom. Launch out into the deep, and there cast the net of the gospel. Well, my friends, there you have it. Have you ever been asked to do something that just seems so pointless? Yep, it's true. When Jesus calls, he does demand everything. But it's only because he has already given everything. And he has plans in store for you more than you could ever dream of as you and he work together and put out into the deep to the glory of his name. Amen.